Welcome back to another episode of Consciously Clueless. I'm your host, Carly, and here we break down complex issues around health, the climate crisis, and social justice through a vegan lens. We'll talk about the magic link between your well-being and the planet's health, because luckily, choosing a healthier, mindful lifestyle for yourself often creates healthier vibes for our planet, too. Staying consciously clueless means getting to show up knowing nothing, but staying open to all that you can learn. From feasting on plant-based meals and reducing waste to learning to meditate, every step you take contributes to your wellness and makes systematic change for the world. You can make a difference. This podcast will show you how. Let's start with letting listeners know a little bit more about you, the work you do, and we'll go from there.
Amazing. Yeah, I am very passionate about sustainability. And if you're listening, you probably are too. That kind of plays out in a couple different ways, but I think it really got started just from loving to be outside. I grew up in the Midwest, but got to spend some summers doing some guiding in Utah. And I think it just opened my eyes to how lucky we are to have the public spaces that we do, and led me into, I was in college at the time. So I was studying marketing because I do believe companies can do good, but wanted to add a sustainability major to that to combine the two, because I really loved these outdoor spaces. And I was like, how do we conserve them? And then I think my interest in sustainability grew from there, not only thinking about how to conserve outdoor spaces, but wow, let's look at our world as a whole. And how do I take the framework of marketing, being a marketing student at the time, and combine that with sustainability to tell a story about how to treat our earth and the things that we buy and how we interact with the products in our life? And I, after school, after marketing and sustainability, I worked for a tech company for a few years in a program that kind of taught you how to start your own business. I was always pretty interested in entrepreneurship. And so I think starting your own business can feel really scary, or if you don't have someone in your life that shows you how to do that, it can feel really hard. And I really appreciated this program because it taught you like the logistics of literally like filing your LLC, but also how do you run your own finances, and then placed you in a startup so you could see like what that might look like. Oh. And so it was a really cool program. And after that, I left, that was in Indianapolis. I left the Midwest and was like really fortunate to spend those 2 years saving my money so I could take a few months off and figure out where to move to. And I ended up in Flagstaff, Arizona. And I don't know, being in the West, it's like a reminder that climate change is happening.
Interesting.
Because there are forest fires, there are like fire seasons, there the snow and the snowpack is really important because it refills our local watersheds. And often the people, I don't know if it's just the circle that I'm in, but my friends are like river guides. They work for the Forest Service. They work in water conservation. It's a topic that like can't be ignored. It feels like it's really in your face. And I really like being in Flagstaff because it makes me more passionate about working in sustainability. But now I do two different things, work with sustainable brands to help them grow via social media and content creation, and then also email. And yeah, wanted to use my marketing skills to tell stories for brands that were trying to make a good impact on the earth, because we all have to buy things in order to exist and live. But like, how do we make sustainable choices? And I wanted to help amplify brands that were trying to operate sustainably. And then the other part, a year ago, my brother and I bought a company called Jelt, which makes products from recycled plastic. And so that's been a whole new venture, whole new set of problems to deal with, but has been really fun and been great to learn about what it's like to try to operate sustainably. I feel like the systems aren't always set up for you as a company to make sustainable choices or make your products locally. So it's been like a good eye opener until these brands that I am doing marketing for, like they've worked really hard to be sustainable, and appreciating that a little bit more, both as a consumer and as a marketer. So that is what I do now.
It's such a good reminder that someone early on when I started the podcast said this, and it really stuck with me, that you can't be perfectly sustainable in an imperfect world. Think of that all the time, because that pressure, especially when you're first being clued into things about the environment, if you were privileged enough to not know about them for so long, it's
so intense, and it's so easy to get frustrated and to just want to be like, what do I even do here?
Yeah, and I love the space that you've created because I think it's a combat to that. It's you can be overwhelmed or you can accept that we don't know everything and make small choices, whether that's in your personal life or who you support for politics or how you spend your dollars. You can be overwhelmed or you can accept that you don't know and make small changes.
Yeah, totally. I appreciate you saying that. And a lot of that is just the place I got to where I realized this is how I can survive trying to make a difference without totally losing my marbles and burning out and or pushing people away because I'm so intensely upset or intensely, oh, everyone has to care. And why aren't you listening to me? But it turns out people don't like that vibe
They
as
don't.
much. I don't. So, like, it makes sense when you think about it, but it's definitely easy to get into that. And I also appreciate that you said, like, we have to buy things because I've struggled with that in the beginning of creating content. I definitely talked more about brands. And it's not that I don't anymore, but I wanted to make sure I wasn't creating a space where I was like, buy your way out of the climate crisis, because I think that is a presentation sometimes from companies or from influencers too, right? Buy this reusable mug and you nailed it. We're good. And but it's right. I have a discount code on my website for who gives a crap toilet paper because it's like, yeah, you're gonna need toilet paper or like you're gonna need shoes or you're gonna need this. And so what are maybe some tips that you have for listeners of how to decide, is this company sustainable? Should I support them? Because there's so much information to sift through.
There is so much information. I think the first thing that I try to think about is the most sustainable option is the one that you already have. Like you mentioned, buying a sustainable mug, if you already have 12 mugs, doesn't help. But if thinking about a good place to start is thinking about what are the items that you buy routinely? What are those like single use items that you
Right.
could maybe eliminate from your purchasing habits? And the great part about eliminating single use things is that it also saves you money. Like
Right.
one company that I work with and I really love is called Proof Razors, and it's a combat to plastic razors. And so if you're someone who shaves, you have to buy a new razor head and your blades wear out and it's probably plastic.
Right.
But Proof Razors, they're made from aluminum. And so you never need another one. You can literally buy one and you could pass it on to your children if you have them. And the blades that you can use in them, they're not like those larger blades. They're double-edged safety blades and they're like 5 cents each and they're really tiny. You can get them at any drugstore. And they're recyclable. And so I think a good place to start is thinking about your single-use items like that.
Right.
Toilet paper is another great one. I don't use napkins or paper towels. I use like small cloth things, anything that's like single-use like that. And then as you're vetting a brand to maybe look at to buy, some of the best things that you can look for are certifications like a B Corp certification, or are they doing 1% back for the planet? Are they even like woman owned? I love supporting women owned businesses, and maybe that's just me and not sustainable, but what kind of certifications do they have to prove that they are made locally or made in the US? Or what does their packaging come in? Do they have a complete recyclable packaging certification? Are they 100% vegan? That's a good way to cut through some of the BS that exists.
I appreciate too you mentioning certifications, and there's a couple, like you mentioned, the Certified B Corp, 1% for the Planet, that are actual certifications. Because what can happen, thank you, capitalism, is that now it's being commodified to be earth friendly and to be eco, so that you hear things like eco-friendly, plant-based, green, but they're
Natural.
yeah, natural, but they're words, right? From a marketing standpoint, do you see that greenwashing happen a lot as well?
Absolutely. I think it's really present in our food at the grocery store, especially. You might see like a nature type brand, and it really doesn't mean anything
Yeah.
unless they have those certifications. And it is hard. It does take more time, especially like if you're shopping in the grocery store, to go on a company's website and look where their ingredients are sourced. But it's something that if you can make it part of your habits or look for those certifications, it can be really helpful. Because I think it is like trendy to be a green, eco-friendly company. And so I think it's like a marketing tactic that a lot of companies have used. And I think this is one that I didn't think about as much, but if it has a made in the US certification, like you can't just say that you're made in the US, you have to like have that verified. And so that's a really good one, because a lot of times there are sustainable products, but if they're made overseas, there are regulations in other countries on water and air that aren't as strict as the regulations in the US. And so having something made here, not only is there less transportation for that product to get to you, but our regulations around the way that it was produced are likely going to be better as well.
Yeah. And listeners that aren't in the States too can probably find that within their own country or wherever you are, there's going to be products closer to you regionally and further away to pay attention to in terms of what's best for you in the moment, honestly. That, of course, we're trying to make these decisions that do a greater good, but it's that balance of not feeling overwhelmed and not, and also not trying to do it all at once, right? Like when I first clicked in, like really had that moment of, oh my gosh, I have to care about the environment. I think there's a moment where it's you care and then you like click in on some level in a different way, maybe like an uptick or some level up or something. But when I first was grappling with all these things, I was like, we have to throw away all this shitty plastic Tupperware, and I have to buy a bamboo cutlery set because that's what people have when they're sustainable, and XYZ. And I look back on that now and try not to judge that, Carly, but I'm just like, girl, that's not the point. But that's also, again, like when we learn from, I'm not trying to demonize social media. I use it as a tool every single day, but sometimes we just see that message of to be sustainably means no plastic, no this, no that. And we're actually just throwing more stuff into the landfill and not using it up. So that, do you ever struggle with that balance for your own life or maybe even for the business you're running?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's hard as a marketer. A lot of times, like I am selling products. And so mentally, that's a hard thing of, are the products that I'm selling, one, something that someone really needs, and that they don't, can they use something like the belts are a great example. Please don't buy a gel belt if you already have a belt that fits and like works with all your pants. And yeah, the most sustainable option is the one that you have. And I try to stick to that myself, but it is hard thinking about trying to sell products that someone might not need. I think working with sustainable brands, my favorite ones that I work with are either like extending the life of a product or they're replacing single use items like the razor. And so those ones feel really, really good mentally, knowing they're like reducing the use of something that already exists. But I think marketing is a hard balance in that way.
So you gave some great tips in terms of like how to start to think about sustainable products in your own life. But in terms of how to decide what questions to ask about a brand, and like you said, looking for certifications, but the brands that are doing that hard work, what kind of things are they doing? Are they paying attention to, or what questions are they asking that not everyone is that makes them sustainable?
Yeah, I think this might just be the season that I'm in, but I think manufacturing is a huge part of that. It's really hard to produce things in the US.
Yeah.
And systems are not set up for you to do that or to produce them locally if it's not here in the US. But how do you not outsource the production of your product somewhere else that might have either like a facility that you'll never get to see and visit, or you can't keep a closer eye on the quality, or it's just made with different regulations than we have here? And I think setting up those systems are really hard. We've been trying to do that for Gelt, to create a new product. And we just found a local manufacturer in Montana who's going to use recycled materials. And it's like a small team. We went and met him a few weeks ago. And it's really cool knowing that you like get to support local people, but also that we'll have a really close eye on the quality of things and the fabric that he's using. So I think that's one that companies who are doing good things, they're thinking about how their products are made and where they're made. and spending extra time and money to make sure that they're really happy with where that's being produced. I was just talking to Maria from TerraSeed, who I know you're familiar with, and they spent, I think, 2 years finding a vitamin manufacturer that was local and had sustainably sourced ingredients. And those are 2 years where they probably don't have revenue coming in, or they're doing research. And of course, that like takes funding or privilege, or somehow you got to pay the bills while you're finding those facilities. But I think manufacturing's a huge one to start with.
Yeah. And I think we hear this a lot in specifically like the fast fashion industry, or just fashion industry in general, but who made your clothes?
I think what human?
Yeah, like that question is coming up more and more, which thank goodness that we, another form of cognitive dissonance. We don't really want to have to think about who made my sweater and was it okay if I just can buy it and not deal with it. I'm guessing that's probably another question too, in terms of whether it's clothing or not, of who made this, were they treated well, were they paid well, and those questions as well.
Yeah. And I just watched the best documentary called Slay. Maybe I can send it to you. It's totally free to watch and you can link it in the show notes maybe, but it's a documentary all about how it's all about the fast fashion industry, specifically with like leather and furs and even some synthetic fibers, and like what is the most sustainable option. And it talks a lot about the people who are making your products and sometimes the chemicals that they have to use and the effects that might have on them or their working conditions. And again, that's something we really want to dissociate with, but it's like a real part of the products that we're buying. Yeah, I think learning more about that is really important. And sometimes it's as simple as going on a company's website and seeing if they talk about it. And if they don't talk about it, I think that's really telling.
Google this company and they don't even try to mention any commitment to anything, that's probably a pretty good indication.
Yeah, that it's something that they don't want you to know. So,
right.
Yeah. So that's another one. The other one I thought of is just packaging. If you're ordering something, a company that really cares is going to ship to you their packaging in recyclable materials. And usually they'll say that before you buy it on the website. That's a really good one to look for.
Yeah, that's a really good one too, because how many times have we gotten something in the mail and you're like, really? This pen needed 14 layers of bubble wrap and 3 boxes. What are we doing here? So yeah, the manufacturing, but also what is it being presented to you in is another really good kind of indication probably for if they care or not, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, did they spend the extra time? And it's another reason to maybe not shop on Amazon. I know for Jelt, when we ship Amazon or belts through Amazon, we don't have control over the packaging that it's shipped in. And that's a really tough one for me. And the more that you buy through the company's actual website, they'll have more control over that packaging. And Amazon does have some good recyclable packaging options, but we can't guarantee that we'll come to you in a recyclable material.
And I'm sure that's probably a struggle. Like I don't have an Amazon account anymore. And there's been a couple times where people are like, oh, you can find this XYZ product on Amazon. And I get that people are making the best choices they can with the information they have in the moment. But I bet that is hard as a business owner to try and grapple with. Is this accessibility? Is this promoting this company I don't want to promote? Those are probably things you're still grappling with and will continue to try and figure out as you go, I imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. And always just making, like you said, the best decisions with the information we have at the time. And a lot of that is probably not buying the product to begin with, but yeah, just doing what we can at the time.
Was there something particular? I'm curious about the Jelt company, sustainable belts at such a specific product. Was that something that intrigued you? Was it something you were like, this is not on, they're not options on the market and I like this? Like, I'm just curious. I love that. I love when people are like, I have this very specific thing.
Yeah, never in a million years did I think I would own a belt company, but it basically came as an opportunity from a close connection of my brother and I. And it was, Jelt was started by a woman in Montana 10 years ago who wanted to give back in some way. And so she found a way to manufacture belts from recycled material. And then she ran it for 10 years and was ready to sell it. And basically it was an opportunity for my brother and I to learn what it was like to operate a business that was sustainable. And not that I was super intrigued by belts, but I was really interested in learning about, okay, how do these processes work? How can I like be a better marketer and learn from it in a marketing standpoint to actually be the business owner? Because it feels different when you're spending your own money versus being the marketer. And yeah, it was a learning opportunity. And then the was also just an opportunity to keep the company running. I'm glad that it exists and that there are belts being made from recycled materials and other products soon. But it's not something I ever sought out. I think I do love that it's made in Montana. It is a certified B Corp, made 1% back for the planet. And so I also wanted a chance to learn about those processes. How do we get those certifications? Because specifically the B Corps one is pretty hard to obtain. And so learning that system was pretty intriguing to me. And it's an outdoor brand. I love to be outside, and it's a belt. It's pretty low profile, so it's great for like hiking, skiing, anything you do outside. And so there were lots of things that intrigued me and really saw it as a learning opportunity. I don't know if we'll have it forever, but it's a good space to learn.
Yeah, and what a cool opportunity to learn from a already established business. I am not an expert in the world of economy, but I imagine, especially like we're in the last few years of things have changed globally and nationally so much in terms of that, starting a new business would probably, and that's a whole different experience. We both talked to Maria from TerraSeed. She's been through it, man, going, and vitamins are a whole different beast of its own. But just in terms of sticking to your guns about sustainability in a capitalist world that wants to say fuck off to sustainability, take some gumption. And so it's cool that you got to see a company and come in and be like, oh, it has these things. So you get to take that knowledge and make it better and use that for future stuff versus starting and being like, let's see what happens. I have an idea. Because that might be a very different world than it was when this woman started 10 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great opportunity to be part of a company that already existed. She has a great return customer rate. She's built a really good brand over those 10 years. And so I feel very fortunate in that way. That was something that she built and really kept the integrity of the brand. But it really has been like a eye opener to how hard it is to operate sustainably. Like you really do have to just like figure things out for yourself. And I was like, I will not order another round of belts until they can be made 100% in the US. I will not do it. And that has been the hardest thing because the last thing I want to do is sell something that's not actually sustainable. And yeah, it's just been like a appreciation really for the companies out there when you do find them and they are doing things right, like an appreciation that they have spent more time and money and effort trying to do that really well. And it also just helps me, I don't know, relate in a way that like it is hard. And but it's really important. If I'm going to make a product, I want to be like able to stand behind it. It's been a whole new set of fun problems. I like to joke that it works like a whole different side of the brain. We had a pallet stuck at the border one time. I'm like, what do I do about that? Like,
yeah, you're like, oh, this is an issue that for me to deal with.
Okay, cool. No, but it's been a really good learning experience and how to like learn more about the sustainable realm from a business owner's perspective.
When you first dove into the world of sustainability, I know for a lot of folks, and I know for me, there seems to be this like domino effect where there's an entry point that gets you, like for me, it's probably a long time coming in terms of a sociology, women's studies, undergraduate degree, and then social responsibility master's, still not connecting it to food, but definitely very like social justice orientated. But the world of sustainability and the environment feels like a whole different door that you're opening. Cause then I was like, oh, fashion and food and health and all of these things are connected. And holy shit, did you feel like you had this kind of moment where you're like, oh, sustainability, I care about the planet. And then all these other things started to come into your purview about that.
Oh yeah. I feel like I've really related when you have said like that all of these issues are connected and that you're like lifting oppression when you invest in one area of sustainability. You might be lifting oppression in other areas that you don't really realize. And I think a lot of it really stemmed from my like initial time outside in college, lived out of a van and did the whole guide life. And I think I just like really appreciated the earth first and was like, wow, this is going to change. I really love whitewater rafting. And if we don't have good snowpack, the rivers don't run and we can't boat. But then that also bled into, okay, this also leads to the oppression of people. And if I eat differently, will that change that too? And I think it was a mix of being outside at first. And then I know documentaries are also one-sided and they obviously only tell one side of the story, but there's a filmmaker in Sedona named Keegan who has produced, he produced the film Slay that I mentioned earlier. He also produced Cowspiracy and What the Health and a few others. I think that just opened my eyes to some of the larger systems that exist
Totally.
in the US that I wasn't aware of. It's great to make small changes, and I don't think we should ever stop doing that. But also, is there a way for us to be a part of a bigger conversation? There's a really cool organization also called Results, and they focus on contacting local people and helping them connect with their representatives to talk about important
Cool.
issues. And it's a really cool way to get involved with education and hunger relief and also sustainability. And they've really done great work. Oftentimes, the representatives in your area might already be connected with a results group. There's one here in Flagstaff. There was one in Indianapolis when I lived there. And that's a good way to get involved on a like local level. Yeah, just called Results. And I think a mixture of being outside, watching those documentaries, talking with people from Results, lots of different things, but I think it's a spiral effect for me, or like a rolling snowball that I like learning more information over time.
Yeah, I totally
Yeah.
relate to that. And if you get to the point where you think you know it all, that you're in trouble, right?
Yeah.
We've made a mistake if you're like, got it. I think I get it,
Yeah.
guys.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah. And I think some of the like local and like national policies are the ones that I like, I don't know, feel really strongly about, because it's a way to make larger impacts on those bigger systems that are really what, I don't know, drive operations, at least in our country. So,
yeah, totally.
yeah.
And it's so easy to feel as an individual like you can't do anything. And I get that sometimes too. I don't think any of us are immune to sometimes feeling like overwhelmed by the state of the world. It probably means you're listening if you're a little overwhelmed, right? It's easy to feel as an individual that we can't make that change. And I feel that way sometimes too. But it's a good reminder that while the systems are far from perfect, that's why we're trying to change them. Like that political side is so crucial to try and dig into. You don't have to be a politician, you don't have to be an expert, but even signing petitions, like at once a day, I have an alert to contact my reps to call for a ceasefire. I am just like,
That's so cool. Yeah.
Like I go to, it's like ceasfiretoday.org. I'm like, oh yeah, once a day, I'm going to do this. And I'm trying to get better at having that level of, because it takes me 35 seconds tops.
Yeah.
And there's been research about showing how there are these tipping points where our representatives get contacted enough and they're like, shit, I guess I have to pay attention to my constituents. And so I think that to remind ourselves that as an individual, yeah, maybe our reusable tote isn't the thing that's saving the world. It's one action of many things we can do that actually have a ripple effect. Because if we all, who cares? I can't do anything. Then I don't know. That's just too much of a bummer for me.
It is. Yeah. I think I saw a quote on your Instagram today that related to that about what's the point of doing anything in this crisis? And it's, if I'm going to be here anyways, I might as well make good decisions. Yeah. I really resonate with that.
Thank you. I've been thinking about that a lot too. I think it was in my stories from Billie Eilish, I think is what you're referencing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's said some things lately where I'm like, damn, Billie Eilish, just dropping such hot knowledge. But I just feel that so hard. There's this meme or image or whatever that I've shared probably on socials a couple times. And it's this woman and she's holding a crystal and a rainbow. And one of them says, I'm grateful for everything in my life. And the other one is, what the fuck is going on? And that's how, and I think it's so relatable because I'm like, yes, the world is beautiful. There's so much joy. And look at all the things I get to do. And also sometimes you're like, literally, what is going on?
Yeah. Who allowed this?
Who,
You know?
How did we get here? Like how,
Yeah.
Who did this? And so holding that, yeah, sometimes it's overwhelming and I want to be like, why try? But then it's like, why not try? When I'm getting into those moments of kind of feeling bad, that question actually helps because I'm like, I can't come up with a reason why not to try, truthfully. Maybe in that moment, because I'm tired, I'm stressed or whatever, but in the long term, I really can't come up with a reason to not try.
Not care. Yeah. And
Yeah.
I think we're like in some ways lucky to have access to the information that we have nowadays that maybe people didn't have access to even 50 years ago. I think news is more available to us. I think our sustainable options and doing research into those is more available. And I think definitely the access to that kind of information or all that exists on social media can feel overwhelming, but it's also a blessing to have. You can Google anything you want to know and maybe find the truth and maybe not, but you can Google that information. And I think it's a blessing to have access to the ways that we can improve, which makes me feel even more like, why not try if that information is available? And I definitely realize that I come from a place of privilege and can make options that maybe aren't available to everyone. And I would hope that the more that I can vote with my dollars, the more accessible things become for other people too.
Yeah, absolutely. And not using that as an excuse to not try yourself, right? There, sometimes some of the trolling comments, there's a wide breadth, but some of the trolling comments I've gotten on Instagram before are, that's not going to make any change. That's not going to matter. Like, that's not what, why is your choices going to really do anything, or all of that kind of stuff. And being able to circle back and be like, okay, like you said, the connection shows us that it's actually all really related. And if I'm working on my piece here and it's connected to this piece, that means I'm also working on this piece. And if I have the privilege to do, I'm not going to point out, not everyone can eat chickpeas. I'm like, okay, can you try? Can you buy a can of chickpeas instead of this? That's just an example. But I think that gets used so much as, this isn't accessible to everyone. I'm like, yeah, that's part of the problem. And I want it to be,
yeah,
but it's accessible to you. Like you're saying, I have the privilege, so I'm going to try and make the choices that I can, instead of using it as a thing of, why bother? Not everyone else can do this. And it's, but can you?
Can you? Yeah. And how many other people maybe have you influenced in the things that you're doing to like maybe buy an extra can of chickpeas too?
Yeah. I got a message from someone I knew from college a few weeks ago, just sharing, hey, I've had some crazy medical stuff going on. I don't know this person all that well. I knew them before. It's once in a while interact, but then they were like, yeah, I haven't had meat in a year and I just wanted to tell you. And so it feels like a small example, but it's really nice when someone also shares, hey, something you said mattered, because there's been people like that for me that I'm like, hey, just so you know, that thing actually totally changed my worldview and I was never the same. And so
oh, that's huge.
Yeah, that's huge, right? And so not also underestimating what you can do just by living your authentic life. Like this is that I try and come back to that too. Of like, I'm just going to try and live authentically and show that you can be happy and joyful while also caring about things that really matter. It's more appealing in the long run, I think, to people than me being like, you fucking suck.
I think the authentic part of what you said is really important, because you're showing that you're struggling with things too, and you're slowly improving on things too. And maybe you have days that feel really heavy, but like everyone does, and that's what's authentic about it. And I feel like that, to me, what influences me is when people are being real and they make real changes and are honest about them, and having the space to see how other people are doing that is such a game changer. So I love that you impacted someone else and didn't even know it. And for them to tell you is really huge, because when you are, I don't know, making changes on your own, whether you have a platform or not, I think we impact more people than we realize.
Yeah, totally. And an Instagram post sharing about sustainable belts, someone might be like, I had never thought about that. Seriously, I had never thought about that. You could use plastic to make this thing, and that sends them down a rabbit hole of fast fashion. I'm sure that's happened.
Sure.
And that's pretty cool too.
Yeah, you never know. You never really know. I go down rabbit holes, so it makes sense that other people do too.
I know, it's funny, because sometimes when you create content, I'm sure you know this and feel this because of working in marketing, you're like, is anyone listening? Is anyone out there? So it's so nice to get that feedback or feel that support from community in some of these spaces, to know that there are others who are like, yeah, I see what you're doing. And that's pretty dope.
Yeah, so much of marketing really is storytelling. And I think people do love stories
Yeah.
and they love being invested, especially in this day and age where you can get to know the founder of a company or it feels that way.
Totally.
And so I do really enjoy working with the brands where those founders are accessible and they're happy to tell their story, because I think a lot of times that's what moves the needle to show someone an option that didn't exist before. And I'm really excited the Razor Company is launching, like rebranding this coming week in the beginning of April. And they're telling their founder story really well and how they produce everything in Montana and have tried to make lifelong products. And those are the things that really get me excited when you can tell a full story around a product in a company or a new sustainable way of being. And yeah, the storytelling part is really fun.
Yeah, you're so right. Marketing, whether it's a podcast that we are like, we haven't even chatted yet. We're running out of time, but you have a podcast that has recently launched. That is how we connected. So let's talk about that real quick and
Oh, yes.
share with listeners. Obviously, we can
So,
talk for a while.
yeah. So, Carly, it was great to be on my podcast that launched in the beginning of, or I guess the end of March, but her episode came out in the beginning of April. And it's called the Sustainable Business Spotlight. And it highlights other sustainable brands that are doing really cool things in the marketplace. A lot of them are options that are available to consumers or just people who are really passionate about sustainability and offer sustainable services. And it's just an interview about them and how they got to where they are and the sustainable offerings that they have. Yeah, called the Sustainable Business Spotlight and just launched. So we're excited and was really grateful to have you, Carly, on earlier.
It was really a fun experience. Is there anything else you want to share with listeners that I didn't give you space to do?
Just an acknowledgement that this space is hard and that's okay, and keep trying. Whether that's if you're a consumer or trying to change habits, like it's all a work in progress and what you're doing matters. And thanks for having me on.
Awesome. What beautiful last words. Thank you so much for joining me, Amy, and I have no doubts that we will stay connected and continue to collaborate in the future. I appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you. Thanks for all that
Awesome.
you're doing in the sustainability space. I follow along intently and love your tips on eating and mindfulness, because that's a huge part of things. So thanks for all that you're doing too.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
If you're hearing this message, you've listened to the entire episode of Consciously Clueless. And for that, thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, tag me when you share on social media, or share this episode with others who may be interested in the topic. Any sharing truly means the world to me. Join the community at patreon.com/consciouslycarly for bonus podcast content like smoke sessions with Consciously Cannabis guests, video versions of solo episodes, monthly live calls, one-to-one support, more lifestyle content, mindfulness resources, and more. Until next time, stay consciously clueless.